Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents The Big Five at Four. Number five.
Time is short. Big Five at Five is here. Pre-game show for Game 5 of the NBA Finals going down in 55 minutes. Tip at 6 o'clock. It's Chrissy, Adam Hill, Steve Cofield. We start off with special treats over the weekend. Did you treat yourself to anything special, Adam? Anything nice?
Actually, no.
Your birthday's coming up.
That's true.
Your family looking to take you out? Nothing?
No, I got
to
save up for that. So, no, nothing special this week.
You don't do a birthday month?
No. I'm not a teenage girl, so no.
I know women who do that.
Exactly.
I know men who do it, too.
No, you don't.
What's the problem?
You don't. I don't believe
it. Do you? Really? Honestly?
Mm-hmm. Nope. I don't believe
it. Okay, good for them. Breaking the mold.
Speaking of special treats, tweet over the weekend, is it purely a Gen X older millennial thing? Are you, you're not an older millennial. You're out. 35 is the limit, right? You're 40. Is it a purely Gen X older millennial thing to finally remember when you would sit down at Pizza Hut and that would be a special treat?
I mean,
was it a special treat for you?
100% yes. Absolutely. I mean, our usual pizza was like a Little Caesars on Friday night. Like that would be the special treat, but then...
Didn't you have a hometown pizza joint in Bowie, Maryland, Ann Arbor, Buffalo, Las Vegas, and the 15 other places you live?
It'd be mostly Bowie. That was like 6 to 13.
Yeah, wasn't there a pizza place there?
Yeah, it was Pizza Hut. The Pizza Hut with the Pizza Hut buffet or the Pizza Hut salad bar was... Like, that's like a dream come true. Hmm. When you had a good report card, you could do it. Or they had the Book It program. Some people might remember.
Really?
Yes.
If you like read books in school and you get like a certificate to go get Pizza Hut.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it was the greatest. What a dream it was.
Chrissy, I assume with your aristocratic background, some sort of fine steakhouse. What was your big treat?
Very funny.
Why is she laughing off the background?
I
think that's true.
It is not
true. I think you grew up in a loftier status than we did.
It's not true, but I will say...
Don't deny your roots.
...that after like the rec games that I was not, you know, thrown out of or ejected for some reason, there was a Pizza Hut that was next door to the gym that we would have the games in. So my mom would just hate, just being the New Yorker that she is, she would want pizza that was authentic New Yorker or like, you know, a mom and pop type pizza place. But she would still let us go.
And this was what, North Carolina?
That was in North Carolina.
So there was good pizza place?
Oh, no, she found one. But she would, so that was only the games I didn't get in trouble at. But our little like favorite thing to do, don't make fun of me. Red Lobster is a national treasure.
Okay.
The cheddar biscuits are amazing.
So here's the thing. We absolutely did not do Pizza Hut because my mother's, believe it or not, as a full-blown Italian, is not a pizza person.
Okay.
I think that was part of my grandparents owning a pizza parlor. So she went anti-pizza. She also, well, this is going to get mopey. She claims to have this gluten thing.
Oh.
I think it's true.
I thought that only started like 10 years ago.
Nah, I think she had it forever, and that's why. She was anti-pasta and anti-pizza. But anyway, so no Pizza Hut. I never ate fish as a kid. Our special treat meal for the family was at Red Lobster.
Boom!
Like, I don't eat anything here! So I would always... I think they only had one chicken option and one steak option. But as I talked about last week when we were talking about LJS and the hush puppies, that I got two hush puppies in a combo meal. Like, throw me some hush puppies. I used to go to freaking town. This is probably, what, like 11 years old? Our special treat spot was Red Lobster. And I'm like, all right. Steak as an 11-year-old, which, boo-hoo, right? Pretty tough.
I didn't even know Red Lobster existed.
And the hush puppies. Huh? Yeah, we were fancy. We grew up a lot more wealthy than
you did. Say,
and
yeah,
that was after
yeah.
my parents' butcher shop went under. We're in an apartment with five of us.
Wow.
There's the Red Lobster.
No, we definitely couldn't afford Red Lobster. So Pizza Hut was, like, the spot. Like, that'd be, like, as Chrissy said, like, after a game, because it's the Pizza Hut buffet. It was, like, $5, and you got pizza and salad. It was tremendous. And then they had, like, the sit-down Miss Pac-Man machine with, like, the flat screen that you sat down. That was tremendous. Like, our actual special treat, if we're really going to go all out, was definitely Sizzler.
Yeah,
pretty fancy.
Like, that was like...
That's pretty fancy.
Okay, like we, you know, you guys did good this month. We didn't have to spend a whole lot of money. Like, here, we can go out to Sizzler.
No repairing any broken stuff at home.
Exactly.
Our budget wasn't wasted on you.
Rarely happened.
Throwing your brother's head through a wall.
Wasn't their motto all you can eat until someone like challenged them?
Was that Sizzler? At Sizzler?
I didn't know that.
Is that right?
Was.
Did they have an all you can
eat? They used to have an all you can eat option.
Of course, that's what it was.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll say Pizza Hut was actually part of the height of my radio career. When I first got to town here, I lived on the east side right by Samstown, and there was a Pizza Hut right there on Boulder Highway. And we worked a morning show, but it was morning like East Coast time. So our show, I think, was 4 o'clock to like 8 o'clock Pacific time. So we'd be done working at like 10:30, and we would be waiting at the door at Pizza Hut to get the lunch buffet. Like 10:55, we're like, go!
Why did they get rid of that?
I don't know. It was great. They had a little bit of pasta. The pizza was delicious.
It was a very average salad bar, too, but it was like it was what you needed. There was like 5 items. You get the lettuce, a couple of things, some dressing.
Let's go!
It's what you needed. It was great. They need to bring that back.
Number 4.
You know, I'm all for athletes flaunting their wealth. It's cool. They have the money. I'm also all for being a good teammate on a new team, like really showing your allegiance. This car that Odell Beckham has is absurd. This is just a waste of wealth.
It's a Rolls.
Yeah, but it's a great-looking car. I don't even know what this is. It's a Rolls Royce. Is it cooling on? Like, my budget for this kind of car was a Dodge Magnum, right? Like, the stretched-out station wagon. Like, yeah. I love station wagons. By the way, we're going to get to your station wagon story, too. This is like a Rolls station wagon, but it's $350,000, and he painted it, like, brown's brown. It's horrendous. It's more orange, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is disgusting.
I like it.
You would... Really?
Nice car.
If you have that much... I guess if you have that much money, you're just like, yeah, $350 on a putrid color car, why not?
It's very unique. I mean, nobody else is going to have it. So that's a good. That's good. I mean,
it's ridiculous. It's as bad as AB had, I think it was a Bentley a couple of years ago. Did he put it up on a bet? He was going head-to-head with
receiving yards?
He was going head-to-head. Brandon Marshall started talking trash on him. Like, Brandon Marshall was on his last legs. And Marshall's like, I'll have more catches and yards than you. Like, no, you're not. We'll put our cars up for grabs. And AB had just some sweet Bentley, but it was in Steelers colors. It looked ridiculous. I black mean, and gold? Come on.
I like showing your team spirit and your team pride and being unique.
You ever hang out with a group and you're just not part of it from a guy standpoint? I had that happen yesterday.
It was a bunch of car guys?
Yeah, cars came up. And so one of our friends said, what was your favorite car? And what was the one that you missed out on? And I'm just like... Yeah, I like cars, but really, like, not that much. But I know there are guys out there listening right now. They're like, oh, yeah, great question. Like, my favorite was this, and I can't believe I missed out on this car. Could you answer this?
No, well, I...
You know nothing about cars.
Nothing.
It's such a basic necessity for you. You don't know what's in the car. Didn't you call me down, like, a year ago? You were trying to figure out... What were you trying to figure out? How to program the garage
door opener? Couldn't figure out...
I couldn't figure it out either. But, I mean, that's where you are with cars.
Well, there's
like,
supposedly...
you barely look at your own car.
There's supposedly some button inside my car that will connect to my garage door and open it, because I didn't have the garage door open.
You finally
at the
got
time.
There?
I finally found the garage door. Probably found the garage door open.
Okay, that's what it was. You lost the garage door opener. You're like, let me try to program it, and we could not figure out how to program it.
And it says, like, the instructions are there, but the instructions in the manual say, hold down this button and whatever, but it never tells you, like, where the button is. I can't find it. I have no idea it's where amazing. It is in the car. But my thing, like, last time I bought a car, and I'm actually probably going to buy one very soon again.
Look at you.
But
Raiders beat Whole New World.
The last time I bought a car,
that's pretty nice.
I was going to the place, and... We know the person who, like, runs the dealership, whatever. I guess either way, he was like, "What do you want?"
He didn't say because I was just gonna make a reference to you buying cars in a second. Go ahead.
Horsepower, or like, you know, what are you looking for in this? And like,
I
the
love
engine,
those yeah.
Like, what kind of engine?
Because they think you're a guy.
And I said,
they think you're a guy, and like, they're trying to get all these specs from you, guy specs.
Yeah, I said, don't break down. Is like so the most reliable car possible and like a great entertainment system. That's really all that I care about. Like, I want a touch screen. I want the ability to put in like video. I want like a really good speaker. Like that's all I care about. Like I really don't care anything about
Adam
the car.
Walks into a car dealer, and as soon as he answers those questions, like the cha-ching just goes off.
They like saddle him up with like four-wheel drive, like chains for his tires.
No, they can get him anything they want, but they know at that point like they've got him because he doesn't really know what the hell he's talking about. Uh-huh. And as I've mentioned before, just selling cars for a little while back in the early 2000s, like you are absolutely I don't know what you would be. Like the victim of a 5-pounder, 6-pounder, 7-pounder. People are just gonna kill you.
I got very lucky.
You have no idea what you're doing.
I got very lucky. They were big fans of the show.
Good for you.
Yes.
Good for you. But thank goodness. To my point, right? On the question when someone's like, what was your favorite car? Like I can answer that one, but like, what was the car that you missed out on? Like, I'm not gonna fix up the car, so it's not like
no.
I can answer them, but no. I just started to back off. We were in the pool. I just went to the other side of the pool. I'm like, someone else talk about this. I'm out.
1978 LeBaron.
What did you miss out on?
My answer was I had a 78 Bonneville, which was 1,000 miles long and had the really cushy seats inside. Freaking love that car. Ooh, it was like a couch, you know, two couches inside.
Oh, nice.
And had an 8-cylinder, so it was just, you know, no gas mileage at all. And could drive really aggressively and cut people off.
Checks off every box in the Cofield.
Believe me, if I yeah, yes. Yes, it
you,
does.
You didn't have a Thunderbird at some point? Didn't you, wasn't that
I did.
Required?
Yeah.
I did have okay. You know what my father had? My father always had a Junker, and he would hand them down.
Okay.
And he had like 7 Junkers in a row. And I just kept getting these old Junkers. It went from, it was like a old Thunderbird to an old Nova to a Reliant K car, a little FBI car. There's a pickup that the horn would get stuck, and I love beeping the horn, but there was a time once where I laid on the horn and it stuck, and it was like a half a mile with the horn on. Trying to think what else.
I went from my 87 gray Escort wagon to a
Were you little when you had the wagon?
No.
That's a small car.
No, it was,
how'd you
it was
fit
fine.
In that car?
It's fine. It was a station wagon.
I know, but you're not sitting in the back of the like the wagon part.
It was fine. And then
those Escorts were tiny.
But then I went from that to like a 1990 C-Tran.
Okay.
Which most people would say Sentra, but
no, I called it a Sentra, but it was actually a C-Tran.
It was a C-Tran
because you were missing the N.
Well, they when they did some body work on it, they misspelled the name of the car when they put the letters back on.
I didn't know that's what happened. I thought the N just fell off.
No,
they put it back on and spelled it. They put the N at the end.
Yeah, C-Tran.
That's awesome.
That's like the Bobo. So it's like the Bobo version of the Sentra.
So I had the only C-Tran in town.
Do you have a dream car? Like, is there a car?
Oh, I could not care less.
I know. He doesn't at all.
Actually, we talked last week.
God, you're the worst.
I don't remember.
But I'm right there with you.
I don't remember.
We're not real men.
I don't remember if we did it on the air or not, but I actually rented a car last week and drove back to town when my flight got canceled.
That looked like a nice car.
And it was actually, I believe, a 2019 Camry.
It was like a souped up version of what you may have had in the past.
The car I have now?
I was just trying to indicate what kind of car you have. Stalkers aren't getting you.
No, I have a Camry right now, and
cool,
I love it.
I'm giving out the information.
And I drove the 2019 one. I was like, this is great.
I'll pay anything.
I'm going to buy another one.
Ding, ding. All the Toyota dealers and anyone who's got a used 2019 sucker right here. That's his dream car. That right there wraps up Adam Hill in a nutshell when it comes to cars. He's going to have the same line of car for 35 years.
Oh, it's very reliable. I like the entertainment system on it. Like, we're good. That's what we go with.
Oh. Number 3.
Thank God you weren't over yesterday. You would have ruined the whole conversation. Actually, I just backed out of the conversation, so in the end, it didn't matter. All right, we got to do this again. Again with Madison Bumgarner, if I can say it. Mad Bum. Okay, folks. Like, I would be like Mad Bum.
For sure.
No doubt. Every time someone gave up a home run, I would stare at them and try to fight them. But I would also, after the game, go, man, I got a problem. This guy won't admit to it.
No, he's doubling down.
The excuses over the weekend were ridiculous. So what happened? Max Muncy goes yard on him?
Yeah, Muncy crushed one into McCovey Cove. And
what did Mad Bum do?
Muncy admired it for a little bit, kind of walked out of the batter's box, and then went.
It was real subtle. He dropped the bat, stared at it, stood there for like a second and a half, and then started running.
We started walking.
Nothing out of control.
No, it wasn't out of control. I'm not suggesting it was, but he was walking a little bit. He was clearly admiring it. And by the way, I don't have a problem with it because Bumgarner and the Dodgers have been in this in the past. It's not anything new. So, yeah, Muncy hit it and admired it, and I think he was showing up Bumgarner because of the issues in the past. But it wasn't over the top.
You know what, man? I don't know. You think this was showing up? I thought it was so subtle.
It was subtle, but he was definitely doing it.
All right.
And I think it was directed at Bumgarner. And, again, I don't have a problem with that. Like, he's had an issue in the past with them. They're getting him back. That's what happens. And, you know, Muncy hits it, and then they start, you know, Bumgarner walks over toward him. They start yelling. The umpire kind of steps in between and is yelling back at Bumgarner. It was pretty clear that, you know, there's a history.
Mm-hmm.
Muncy was glad that he hit a home run off of him, and Bumgarner was not going to accept it, and that's what he never does. He never accepts when somebody hits a home run.
Mad Bum after the game said, they want to let everybody be themselves. Let me be myself. So what does that mean? Every time someone hits a home run against you, you got to fight them? Is that yourself? Because here's the thing. He's gotten mad at guys for popping up and being mad that they popped up. That's a documented fact.
Yes,
he's gotten mad at dudes because they got mad for making it out. He's like, don't stand there. Get off the field. You should expect to be out against me. Like, can I do anything that is of your approval, Mad Bum?
No, you can't.
Totally ridiculous. He's out of control.
He's very angry out there. But
yeah, he says, just do your thing. I'll do mine. He just struck a pose and walked further than I liked. Cut it out. He struck a pose.
Yeah, and then walked further than he liked.
Man, I like you know what? Mad Bum's one of those guys. You really like him on your team. And I like the way he pitches. He's one of my favorites. But this behavior is ridiculous. And he needs to be suspended for it. You can't start a fight every time someone hits a home run.
Well, he
doesn't put their head down and run 50 miles an hour around the bases.
Well, he would get mad. If you sprinted, he would get mad too.
Yep. Then you're showing me up. You're running too fast.
Yeah. So he would not like that either.
Ridiculous.
But I think the thing that comes out of this, the biggest takeaway, is Muncy wins the battle after the game because he's asked what happened. Muncy said, Bumgarner said, don't watch the ball, run. And I just told him, if he doesn't want me to watch the ball, go get it out of the ocean, which is a great line. Go get it out of the ocean is almost perfect. Like, basically, I just hit the ball into the ocean. Go fetch it if you want to talk trash.
This is going to be so awesome when Mad Bum does this against someone who doesn't. I'm not going to say Muncy back down, but is waiting for it and wants a piece. And then he gets hurt and he can't be traded.
Ruin the whole franchise.
Yep. You get nothing for him because the Giants can't control the guy. So every time someone hits a home run, he gets to get all angry and start, you know, baiting someone. Someone's going to take him up on it and freaking drill him right in the face. Top two stories.
Number two.
All right, what's going on now with the Pelicans? We're getting close. We're getting close to trade season, free agency opening up. Anthony Davis appears to be on the block. David Griffin, the GM, the old guy from the Cavs, has a list of teams, and now we're hearing maybe it's not going to be just one team that he's dealing with, that he may have to go into the much-coveted three-way to get something done.
He said that he's at least open to the idea of multi-team trades to try to get the kind of assets that they want in exchange for Anthony Davis, which tells me that they are getting closer and they're realizing there might not be, you know, a straight-up trade partner anywhere for what they want to do. And, of course, with the league year getting ready to start fairly soon, they're starting to intensify a little bit. In fact, just in the most recent minutes, I believe it was a Woj report saying in an ideal world, the Pelicans would have a deal in place by this weekend, which they can't make the trade yet, but they can at least have the parameters of a deal outlined going into free agency.
Gut feeling right now? Any clue? Knicks, Lakers.
I mean, I still think it'll be the Lakers because I think, you know, Clutch has enough power to make it happen. But we'll see what the best deal is that comes together and how many teams have to get involved for them to make it work.
Lakers play it smart or get fleeced?
I mean, I think getting him, I mean, they're not.
Or do they get fooled by Clutch and the guys at Clutch, Rich Paul and company, are like, yeah, don't trade too much for him because this is the only spot he's going to. And then David Griffin's like, man, here we go, Knicks. Sorry.
And they have to wait a year, which, you know, I think that's.
Would the Knicks, that's another interesting thing. Would the Knicks trade the third, future first, Kevin Knox? They're going to trade all these guys without a guaranteed contract in tow?
Maybe, to get them for a year. I don't know. I don't know what that would do to them. It also potentially put them in a place to do a sign and trade next year, so at least have assets.
We both thought the Paul George trade was ridiculous on the part of Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City gave up DeMontis Sabonis. And why am I blanking on the second dude's name? Victor Oladipo.
Yeah.
Right? And then Oladipo got hurt this year. But his first year was awesome. And I thought it was the dumbest move ever because I assumed no shot. TG13 stays in OKC. It turned out that was about the right price because they were able to sign him long term. So you wonder how the Knicks. I mean, you can see, folks, there's a lot of factors in this. The Lakers think they have an ace in the hole because of the agency. And the Knicks probably have more volume to offer. But what if he doesn't sign? Then you just traded all of that to not have the guy around long term.
But.
Number one.
Time is short, my friend.
I know. I just don't think I would trade for him. I would wait a year, but they might not have that option if LeBron would leave if they don't get him.
Number one.
Now it's time for number one. All right, Durant in or out. On the way back, we're going to address, should he play? Is there actually a lot at risk here? Is he being bullied into playing? Weird stuff over the weekend with word that his teammates were getting frustrated with him. Coaches were getting frustrated with him. Really? For all this guy has done? For the Warriors are getting annoyed with him? If he can't play, he can't play.
It's the Big 5 at 4. Brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. 570-9000. Now, back to Cofield and Company in the Finley Toyota Studios.
Yeah, he hit it, and he walked out. And that little walk is what Bumgarner took exception to. And he followed him down the first base line.
We were just talking about Mad Bum and his antics. Weird stuff. Can't do anything against Mad Bum. If you hit a home run, enjoy it too much, he gets mad. You pop out, you get mad, he gets mad. It's a weird deal. A lot going on in the Bay Area. We'll hit on this briefly. And then, of course, we got Game 5. Warriors do or die situation. Mark Willard is on KNBR now in San Francisco and joins Steve and Adam here in Vegas. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, gentlemen? How are we doing today?
A lot is going on. We're fired up for this NBA game, but I wanted to ask you, what was the blowback over the weekend after Mad Bum and, I guess, Mad Max got into it?
Yeah, well, again, the guy's first, the first three letters of his name are mad for a reason, and so he plays the part well. But you know what? It's interesting. Even a lot of Giants fans, I think, like many baseball fans around the country, are kind of done with the whole getting angry because somebody is showing personality. But I thought Madison made a really good point after the game when he said everybody wants to let the kids play and let them show emotion. Well, why can't I? He goes, because you want them to be them, so why can't I be me and this is me? And I thought that was a pretty fair point. It's a very different story if Bumgarner throws at Muncy the next time up. I think that's what people are done with, where it's like, oh, you're now penalizing somebody because they did a good job against you. They did what they're supposed to do. They hit a home run. But if all they're going to do is jaw, pound chests, puff them out, and bark at each other when they're rounding the bases and then give really good quotes in the locker room after the game, I'm like, what's the problem here? This is good. This is exactly what we're asking for. So I have no problem with what Muncy did. But if you don't have a problem with what Muncy did, you probably shouldn't have a problem with what Bumgarner did either.
You kind of referenced a little bit there, but where are the Giants fans on Bumgarner right now?
Well, I think everybody's been coached to the idea that you know, he's going to be traded. I think that he's a hero. He and Buster Posey and Brandon Crawford and Brandon Belt, all these guys have won rings in San Francisco. They would love for everybody to ride off into the sunset, never wear another uniform. They're homegrown players. But by the same token, it's now been a solid 3 years of really bad baseball. And you bring in Farhan Zaidi to run the show. And if you're going to do that, then you got to allow him to start to regenerate and refurbish, if you will, the roster. And if you're not going to hand out a massive contract to Bumgarner next year, there's really not much of a reason to not shop him around. I don't think they'll give him away. They're going to, in order to sell it to the fan base, they're going to have to get a lot in return. But I do think he's going to be, you know, pretty sought after over the next, 6 weeks. And so people are realizing this is probably, every time he goes out, might be the last time you see him.
Let's talk game four. What do you think happened?
Well, I mean, look, are you asking about four or five?
What happened in four?
Yeah, what happened in four? What happened to the Warriors after a good start and then fading?
yeah, what happened in game four is that the team is just being overtaken by a matchup nightmare combined with exhaustion. And that's not to make an excuse for them. Toronto's been a better team, and it reminds me a lot of a series I covered years ago, the end of the Shaq-Kobe era when they were playing Detroit, and every game they lost, everyone thought, well, next time out, the Lakers will get it together. And every time they came out, it got worse, and then it got worse. And in the end, they got blown off the floor. Now, I don't know if that happens tonight because of the return of Durant, but they're just overmatched right now. Their minds, their bodies, their spirits are there's just a buildup of so much extra basketball over the last 5 years. And the game was lost in the first half when Toronto was not hitting anything and the Warriors couldn't pull away. It was like, I felt like at halftime they should be up by 15 and they were up by 4. And you knew Toronto was not going to come out and have that bad of a second half. And they came out and had a great second half. And so you saw the result. But, you know, we'll see if Kevin Durant is just an injection of life. And obviously, you know, maybe an injection of 30 points. And that could absolutely change things. But they've got a hell of a hill to climb with or without him.
Yeah, Steve Kerr just made it official in the last half hour that Durant will play. One last thing on Game 4. Mark Willard's with us here on Cofield & Company. He is on KNBR in the Bay Area. Did you guys talk much about the fans, Golden State fans, leaving early? You know, we've had the discussion of the whole gentrification of the crowd. I thought it was also shocking that that many Warriors ticket holders sold their tickets to Raptors fans to the point where there's like 1,000 of them in the building at the end.
Well, yes, there was some discussion about it, and I don't think it would have been as big of a deal if there wasn't the possibility that that was literally the last time anyone would walk into that building.
Right.
And so that was what was odd about it, because you're like, who cares about a little traffic on a Friday night of all times, you know, if this is the last time you're ever going to be in the building. But if I go historically, every single fan base ever that's gone through something like this, where expectations are so incredibly high and the success is so much, you do fall prey and victim to taking things for granted. And so, you know, that you can't match Toronto's excitement for this series if you're the Warriors. You can't do it. It's just human. The entire country of Canada has never done this before, so those people are absolutely going bananas, and the Warrior fans have done nothing but for 5 years now. And so, you know, they've all been to these games before, and they've experienced the feelings before, and a Toronto fan might have offered them an absurd amount of money for those tickets, and they thought to themselves, well, you know, we've done this for 4 years in a row, whatever. So it's not shocking. I think it was just a little jarring because it's like, wait a minute, is that really how this building is going to close? So, yeah, there were some people that were put off by it, but I think it's just kind of a natural evolution of what's happened.
We'll use that premise to set up the preview of tonight's game. Was Game 4 the last ever game at Oracle?
I mean, probably is the only way that I'll answer it. You know, probably. I think that Toronto is... You know, they're the healthier team. They've been the better team. They've got matchups in their favor. I don't believe so much in momentum in the playoffs, but they are walking into an arena tonight that is going to be absolutely on its ear and hoping that for the first time ever, you know, they're going to see a championship in their country. That's a lot. That's a lot to overcome. So, there's a reason Toronto is favored tonight, although you guys probably have the updated numbers a little bit better than I. I know they're not favored by a lot.
Yeah, Golden State is favored.
Because of Durant? It
yes.
Changed.
Yep,
okay.
Yep, it flipped.
Well, there you go. There you go. But then again, we also know, you know, where the Vegas lines have been on these games so far and you know, the Warriors tax that people pay and all of that stuff. So, Toronto until, I guess, an hour ago was favored, and I think for a reason. And so, you know, I give them a better than 50-50 shot of winning the game tonight, but you're still talking about the Warriors. You're talking about Kevin Durant returning. And so, you know, Toronto's got their work cut out for him, too, because that fourth one is always the hardest one to get.
I made the case earlier that Kevon Looney coming back and playing put the pressure on Kevin Durant to play. Do you think there's anything to that?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I mean, I think that for my taste, there's been way too much discussion in this series from people talking about what's going on with other people's bodies. Gary Payton called Klay Thompson soft at one point. I thought that was the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know, it's interesting and ironic that here's Kawhi Leonard suddenly being called the greatest player on earth. And you're like, don't you guys all remember? You just did this to him last year. You just did this to him. And he's now showing everybody, you know, maybe he knew what he was talking about. It was his body. He made some smart decisions. And I think San Antonio has a lot of regrets. And so let's not repeat that and start telling world-class athletes who have all kinds of things on the line, you know, what they are and aren't feeling and what they should or shouldn't do in certain situations. The end result is that the trainers with the Warriors are the ones who are making the final call. Klay Thompson was begging to play in Game 3. They wouldn't let him. I don't know what Kevin has actually asked to do, but I also know that when he went through a workout last Thursday, no one in that building walked out of there with the thought that he was ready to play. His body was not ready last Thursday. And, you know, we'll find out here shortly how ready it is tonight.
It's Vegas. We like to bet. Over-under set on Kevin Durant points tonight, 23.5. You go over or under?
I got to go over on that just because I feel like if they're going to put him out there, that means there's going to be a spotlight on him. He's going to be ready to play. And even if he's not 100%, which I definitely don't expect him to be, he's still 7 feet tall with a handle, which means he's going to be able to get his shot off. And, you know, his minutes will probably be a little bit less than normal. But let's be honest, the adrenaline is going to be pumping. There's so many factors that affect Kevin Durant based on what we see play out tonight. So I'm not calling for 40 or anything like that, but I could definitely see him going north of 25.
Mark Willard's on with us. He's new to KNBR, just moved up from San Diego. You've worked in all California markets now, all three of the California markets. Which is the best sports city for sports talk radio? San Fran, L.A., or San Diego? Let's go. You're on the griddle. Yeah. You're on the griddle now.
Well, and I'm going to say this for more reasons than simply it's the one that's currently paying me, but it's San Francisco, and it's not even close.
Ooh.
And there's data to back it up. Yes, I was born and raised there as well, so from a personal standpoint, these are the teams I have a lot more interest in. But I'll just say this. When I left San Diego, there were three sports radio stations in the market. None of the three ranked in the top 20 in the market. In San Francisco, there are two sports radio stations. Ours ranks in the top 5, and our afternoon show is the number one radio show in the entire city. And L.A. does well, but again, same thing. No sports radio stations in the top 10 in the market. And so I always describe it this way. Sports, in my opinion, are underrated in all the West Coast markets. There's diehard fans in each city. But when you go to San Francisco, the moms wear Giants hats to the grocery store. Like, it is much more a part of the daily vibe and culture in San Francisco than it is in the Southern California city.
Last one, Mark. We got like 30 seconds. So you made your choice, yep, sort of as a free agent, going to San Francisco from San Diego. If Durant, let me check that. If the Warriors lose tonight, where's Durant next year?
Well, the scenarios that keep Durant in Golden State have already played out. Either the Warriors lose or he is responsible for rallying them to win. I still think it's maybe 60% chance he's gone, but if you had asked me a month ago, I would have said 95%. So the Warriors are on the rise, I'll put it that way.
All right, Mark. Good spot. We appreciate it.
Okay, guys. Anytime.
There you go. Mark Willard now in KNBR. Just moved out from San Diego. Used to do the Tony Bruno show out of L.A. and gave us a couple minutes here. As we get ready for Game 5, Raptors up 3-1. Is there any way they collapse in this thing? We'll give final notes before the official pregame right here on ESPN Las Vegas.
Finley Toyota in the Valley Auto Mall has the largest Toyota service facility in Nevada.
Come.
I'm going to kill your bookmaker. I'm going to rip his throat out. I will step on his throat until the man chokes. Let me tell you how. Winners, 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 winners. Free, 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 free.
Time to deliver the winner. Warriors now won. As they try to stave off elimination. I'm going Warriors win. Kevin Durant plays 25 minutes. He scores 21. Warriors win. And there will be a game 7. I am not guaranteeing the series win. I'm not guaranteeing the 3-1 comeback. I'm also not betting on the 3-1 comeback because they may be the worst odds ever presented in the history of the NBA and maybe sports. Because of Warrior fear and the unknown. Did you see what the number was over the weekend on a comeback?
No.
On winning the series? Plus 500. Well, for the Warriors.
I mean, you have to figure. Let's see. I'm trying to do the math. Actually, that might be the rare case where it's worth it to play a future. Because if you rolled it over, I don't think you're going to get 5-1 odds. If the Warriors are favored tonight, they'll be a huge favorite in Game 6. And then they'd be favored in Game 7. So if they win tonight, they're favored in the series.
So think about this. I get what you're saying. But think about this from the, I guess, the macro. Probably not the right term, but the Warriors are down 3-1. 1-3 teams are 1-33. Is that right?
93% or something like that, so yeah.
Right. Because the Cavs did it to the Warriors. But besides that, it's an over. And you get 5-1 on the comeback with a bunch of injured players.
Yeah.
That's the hesitance, is that Durant could come back and then may not play game 6 or 7. Klay Thompson could go down at any point. Kevon Looney could, I guess, have what? His shoulder just ripped from his body?
Iguodala, too.
Iguodala.
By the way,
Cousins. It would be a miraculous comeback. You're getting 5-1 with a team that is dinged up as hell. With that said, I'm confident that tonight the Warriors will extend the series, even in the face of maybe. That was a great job by Mark Willard at the beginning of that conversation. He's on KNBR in San Francisco. You know, sometimes you and I kind of lose sight of the, we'll just say the excitement of sports. We've been desensitized a little bit. The atmosphere in Toronto tonight is going to be as rowdy and raucous as we've ever seen in the history of the league. This is, first of all, Canadian sports fans are great. We see it down here with hockey, right?
Yeah, every
that
time.
If you don't have fans who really respect their home ice or home court advantage and are willing to give it up for a big number, Canadians will scoop the hell out of the tickets. They'll travel all over the place. They're crazy. Before that, where'd we learn this? If you had a Canadian, especially George St. Pierre, fighting in Vegas, you get like 4,000 Canadians coming down.
Oh, they love it.
They love sports, and they are so behind this team. That place tonight, and then Jurassic Park outside. Holy crap!
They're getting there yesterday morning to line up for the game. It was crazy, but yeah, it's a very cool story. Certainly, Drake will be fired up. The whole Toronto fan base will be fired up.
After my whole delivery, Adam's like, "Yeah, it'll be fired up.
Drake will be fired up. Yeah, they will. They're gonna be crazy. The thing I'm watching, really, because we had mentioned Looney, and I was just waiting to follow up on Toronto. I'm sure was watching the game. I'm sure they were. I think most people were. If Looney is allowed to get a layup at any point in this game, everyone on the Toronto staff should be fired. Every player should be cut. You have to foul him every time he's near the basket. He can't shoot free throws. Did anybody else watch when he tried to go to the he's got a broken collarbone. He can't shoot. He put everything he had into trying to get the ball up to the rim. He couldn't get it there. There's no reason for him to ever get a layup. They need to foul him every time. So that should be a big advantage for Toronto, and we'll watch what they're able to do defending him. But I think it's going to be a fun game. I'm excited to watch it. I think the fans are going to be crazy, and I think the Raptors actually are under some pressure here.
Your pick?
They better get it done.
Your
Warriors win.
Double Warriors win. Mark it down. We say the Warriors will win. Tonight, apparently Monica is singing the national anthem. The crowd is doing the Canadian anthem.
Yes. Should be fun.
You're very fired up about
it. I don't
know
why, how they decided on Monica. That's interesting.
Pre-game's coming up. Enjoy Game 5 right here on ESPN Las Vegas.